Gambo asked the question earlier in the show, and it's a really good question because it kind of it's about greed, right? What was it that Gordon Gekko said in Wall Street? Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed works.
You would know more than
greed
I would.
Greed is right. Yeah. This time yesterday, 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a.
Does your sister-in-law get mad every time she hears that phrase in the movie? I know she gets mad when I say money can buy happiness.
I don't know if my sister-in-law has ever seen Wall Street beyond the first time.
Just be like, oh my God, it's terrible. It's a terrible line. Well, no, she gets mad at me.
She doesn't. She minds it with you when you say it because her kids are in the car. And she doesn't want you, you know,
influencing her children,
my sweet niece and nephew with the money buys you happiness line that you like to throw out there every now. I don't think she's taking her kids to Wall Street just to watch them.
Okay.
No, probably not. This time yesterday, 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, we're 2 hours away from the Suns and the Utah Jazz. And I say to you in that moment right there, Suns fans, would you take a split? Would you take a split between tonight against the Jazz and tomorrow against the Clippers? Would you be satisfied with a split of those two games on back-to-back nights? And I suspect that without the benefit of hindsight, most Suns fans would say, yes, split would be great.
Yes.
But if we're being honest about it.
But are we thinking the wrong way? Like, we're not being greedy. We're being pessimists in some way. Like, it's either 0-2, 1-1, or 2-0, right? 0-2, 1-1, or 2-0. There's only three options. Like, the middle one seems like, okay, because you don't want 0-2. You're more fearful of 0-2 than you are hopeful of 2-0.
Right.
Because you're playing good teams. But maybe with this team, we should be more hopeful of 2-0 than fearful of 0-2. You know why I'm taking 1-1? Because I'm fearful of 0-2. I'm not taking 1-1 because I'm hopeful of, because I was more hopeful of 2-0. I would just say 2-0.
You're operating from a base of fear as opposed to a base of optimism, of hope, of belief. And I think what you're suggesting is a Phoenix Suns team that is so good. And this is, I mean, this circles back to that tremendous, in some ways, to that tremendous debate that John Bloom and Dan Bickley had a few weeks ago.
It was a good one.
About enjoying what you've got versus expecting the best. 1-1 is sort of enjoying what you've got, right? Getting a split over these next two games is like, okay, I'm just happy the Suns are relevant and I'm happy they're playing great games and they're winning lots of basketball games. And if we split against the Jazz and the Clippers on back-to-back nights, okay, that's cool. You know, that's fine. A split is good. Wanting to go 2-0, expecting to go 2-0, being disappointed with anything but 2-0. Now that's what Bickley was talking about, right? That's the, I expect more from this team. I should expect. I'm not going to be happy with 1-1.
They have the best road record in the NBA. They have the second best record in the NBA. Why should you? And that's just the way that we're conditioned to not totally buy in with the Suns.
Yes.
We're conditioned to not totally buy in.
10 years of suck will do that to you.
Right.
10 years of awful will do that to you.
Yeah. So you're at this thing now where like, okay, so yeah, I almost brace for the 1-1. I mean, go for the gusto.
Yeah.
Go get the bone-in ribeye. You don't have to settle for the sirloin. Go get it. What do you want? What's the bone-in ribeye? It's $69.95. I'll take it. Give me the bone-in ribeye. 32 ounces. I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, instead, I'll take the sirloin.
Order the thing on the menu that doesn't have a price in the menu, that it's on the chalkboard, right? That it's per ounce, you know? It's the market special. Ask about the market special. Hey, what's the market special time? Yeah, that's $45 a pound. I'll take like 10 pounds of that. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
yeah.
Don't order off the chalkboard, not the menu. Yeah.
Would you like a lobster tail with that steak? Sure.
Yes.
Why not?
Mushrooms? Sure.
Mushrooms
garlic
on
drawn
the side.
Butter? Absolutely. All the sides, all the fixings.
Our lobster
everything.
Mac is really good. Would you like that? You know what? Why not? What the hell? Go ahead.
And meanwhile,
do you want any bread? Is the bread free? Yeah. No, I don't want it then. I only want stuff I pay for.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the server walks away and goes, oh man, I'm going to make so much money off of this table tonight.
Right.
I'm upselling them on everything. No, but you bring up a good point. And with this clip, and I think last night's win was the kind of win where we believed that this team was capable of almost anything. I think last night was the proof that this team is capable of almost anything this year, because that was as playoff a game as you're going to get in the regular season. It was a street brawl at the end.
Boy, it was.
I mean, it was just.
Didn't it feel like a fight?
It did. It did.
The physicality of the game.
Yep. The physicality of the game. The shot making of the game. The all of it. It did. It felt like a fist fight.
You know who did a good job last night? The refs.
They did. We didn't really notice them, did we?
No, that was a terrific. There was. I had no complaints. Like every time there was like a Rudy Gobert pushing off, they called it. You know, like the calls were good. Like yeah. Mikhail's fouls, they were good. You know, I mean, somebody fouled somebody on a 3-pointer and he got a 4-point and he missed it. I think Mitchell got fouled.
Well, that's when Mitchell did the counting thing. Remember,
it was Cam Johnson.
Yeah, and Mitchell went 1, 2, 3, 4, and then he missed the free throw.
It was a foul. Yeah. I mean, it was a foul by Cam. So I thought the refs did a really great job last night.
Yeah, I thought the game last night it was just everything about that game was playoffs. And the Jazz pushed, and the Suns discovered they are capable of pushing back. And the Suns found it within them to push back. Now, how does that apply tonight? They've got to be tired. You know, Devin Booker played 44. Chris Paul played 43.
They're going to be tired.
I mean, DeAndre Ayton played into the 40s. I mean, the legs are going to start to get heavy, and their minds, you know, mentally, you know how it is physically when you start to fatigue. Sometimes mentally, that fatigue kind of kicks in, and you start making bad choices and bad decisions and things like that. If they were to come away with a win tonight on the second night of a back-to-back, I don't know if it really changes anybody's minds about the Suns, but I do think there might be a national pundit type or two who wasn't totally convinced the Suns could be a real threat in the West, and they might change their mind.
Well, here's your angle. I mean, if they could beat a well-rested Clippers team when they're completely exhausted, having played the night before an overtime game, I mean, sky's the limit. Like, there is, you mentioned it earlier, I'll go back to my email, there was an ESPN article today about the teams. And, you know, who has the best chance of basically unseating the Lakers? And it was a more of a, what do you call it?
A gambling base site. Yeah.
But it was an ESPN article, and that's why I clicked on it. And it said, you know, who has the best chance to, you know, unseat the Lakers? And the Nuggets had a better chance. The Jazz had a better chance. And the Clippers had a better chance than the Suns. They all thought that the Suns were, there were three teams ahead of the Suns. Well, maybe that will change. Look, in the end, all of this stuff is great, but it's when you get to the playoffs that will determine what this team ultimately is. Because we could sit there and evaluate it all day long. Oh, they just beat the Jazz. What does it mean? Oh, they beat the Clippers. What does it mean? It's going to matter when they get to the playoffs. That's the ultimate, like, nothing as matters as much now as when they get there.
Totally agree. And I guess the only reason why I'm putting a little extra stock into last night's game was because that was like a playoff game.
It was.
And
I take something out of it. I think they got to prove to themselves that they can win these games in order to win those games when they get there.
Starting next Monday, we're giving you the chance every weekday to win $500. All you need to do is text the word bonus to 620-620 right now. Register and listen for your name at 7:35 in the morning with Doug and Wolf, 1:35 in the afternoon with Bickley and Murata, or 3:35 right here with the Burns and Gambo Show. Your chance at the Arizona Sports Signing Bonus. Again, text the word bonus to 620-620. Coming up, more and more teams and scouts are falling in love with him. Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. But if the Cardinals want him, how high do they need to go to get him? Because Gambo's not on an island anymore. We'll tell you who joined him next on the Burns and Gambo Show. March 22nd?
Yes.
March 22nd.
That was the date. That was the date that we brought up. Don't be shocked if the Cardinals, you know, at least kick the tires on trading up for Kyle Pitts.
I remember the day because sometimes
it's a Monday.
Sometimes you'll the way the studio is set up here, you've got your computer monitor over there, and you put up Kyle Pitts' numbers on your computer, and you like turned it.
I turned it to
turned
you.
Turned it to me while I was on the air, and you're like, this guy. You're like mouthing the words, this guy. I'm like, Gambo, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. And then you got it. I've heard. That it's something to think about.
I'm just saying it could be something to think about.
Yep.
Like, you know, he's a dynamic player. He's, you know, he could be dynamic for this offense, and you know, if you want to go all in, I mean, you know, maybe. I mean, he is, you know, one of the best players in this draft by far. He's a rare kid. It would be ballsy. It would, to make a move like that, to try to go up and get him, ooh, because it would cost you a lot.
Yeah, it will. If you're like, who? Just so we are all on the same page here. Okay. Kyle Pitts is the tight end out of Florida, who is just a freak show. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. An absolute freak show. 6'5", 245 pounds, 4.44 40-yard dash, broad jump, vertical, wingspan. Basically, the physical comp, for the most part, is Calvin Johnson, all right, in terms of speed,
yes,
size, wingspan, height, weight, all of it. Think of Calvin Johnson, maybe a little bit heavier and just a shade slower, and that's kind of what Kyle Pitts is.
He could block, he could run, yep. he's a mismatch nightmare,
mm-hmm,
because you can't guard him with a linebacker, he's faster. You can't guard him with a safety or a corner, he's bigger. So he becomes one of those rare athletes because of his speed and size. Like, who are you gonna cover him with? This is why you go get like an Isaiah Simmons type to try to cover these guys. But there aren't a lot of players out there that could cover a player like that. He's just a difficult matchup because of his size and his speed.
So Gamba brings up this, hey, don't be surprised if ... thing about Kyle Pitts 2-3 weeks ago. This morning on Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager, who's always been one of those national media types who always seems a little bit more dialed in with the Cardinals, maybe, than others, right? I'd put Pete Prisco on that list. I'd put Adam Schein on that list. I think Peter Schrager's kind of on that list. He unveiled his mock draft today. Look at who he had the Cardinals moving up to number 7 to get.
The Cardinals, who've been the most aggressive team in the NFL this entire offseason, swing again, trade up with Detroit, and get Kyle Pitts as he slips.
Now, I can only presume that he's hearing something similar to what you're hearing, that there's a chance that,
sure,
this...
Sure, kick the tires on.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, let me float this out there, and I'm hearing this is something they might look at. This is something they could do. He's got the details on it, and as the old saying goes, the devil is in the details, and the devil might be in these details. I'll let Schrager explain.
I've got the Arizona Cardinals, another aggressive team, trading up to get Kyle Pitts at 7. Here's what it would be. The 16th overall pick, next year's first, and a 2022 third. But Kay, I ask you, do you think after all this buzz, if he can go second overall, he can go third, he can go fourth, do you think it's possible that this Kyle Pitts can slip to 7th? And do you like the fit in Arizona as opposed to maybe Cincinnati or Miami?
Of course, if I'm a Cardinals fan waking up and seeing this mock draft over at NFL.com/Schrager, and you should go there, and thank you for all the hard work on this, Peter, you're like, yeah, giddy up, you're throwing confetti, you're doing the Rod Tidwell Arizona Cardinals touchdown dance in your living room this morning, because of course you want this game-changing talent, this 6'6 absolute stud.
But who wouldn't want that talent? Right? It's not like the Cardinals, okay, so we were making the joke earlier that you were on Kyle Pitts Island and Peter Schrager just, he's
Wilson.
You're Tom Hanks and he's Wilson and he just washed up on your shore and now you got a little buddy on this Kyle Pitts Island with you. All right, but who doesn't like Kyle Pitts, right? Who doesn't think Kyle Pitts is this, I mean, there's a very real chance, very real, that he's the first non-quarterback taken in this year's draft. Because he's just such a freak show at the position.
Could go ahead of Jamar Chase, yep, and Devontae Smith and Waddle. Could go ahead of those three.
Could
great
go ahead
wide
of Penei Sewell. I mean, he
might be the first player taken after the quarterback.
That's what I just said. Yeah. I mean, I know we don't value the tight end position like that. And a lot of people would look at that and think that's absolutely nuts.
Especially the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be the most, like, uncardinal thing to do, considering that they don't rely on the tight end?
Yes.
Except for blocking?
Yeah, in fact, it's funny that you mentioned that. I sent you a screenshot of this today. Our buddy Jess Root over at CardsWire.com was responding to a tweet. Dear NFL analysis, you immediately lose all credibility if you project Arizona ever trading up for a tight end in the first round under Cliff Kingsbury. Please keep this in mind as you proceed with your mock draft. So here's a listener, a fan, saying, come on, man, they're going to trade up for a tight end. Are you kidding me? And Jess Root responded, hey, not necessarily. in Cliff Kingsbury's first year at Texas Tech, he had tight end Jay Samaro, 106 catches, over 1,300 yards. So there is, you know, even though he hasn't really used the tight end much
It's
not like he's never done it before.
Yeah. And a player like that, like, okay, I'll figure out a way.
Yeah.
Now I'll figure out a way to get that guy involved. And then now you're like, okay, you sacrifice the cornerback. And I said to you earlier, like, if the Cardinals were to move up, right, don't a lot of people think that, why wouldn't you just take the best cornerback available? Why wouldn't you go take the you need a cornerback.
You need a cornerback. And corner.
So why would you move up and then take a tight end when you need a cornerback?
Yeah. Especially when you consider that a cornerback is one of the four primary needs of any football team, right? Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, cornerback. Your goal is to have as many of, you know, good ones, franchise cornerstone guys at all of those positions, and the Cardinals clearly don't at the cornerback spot long term. Yeah, if you're going to move up, go get a cornerback, not a tight end. A tight end is, again, it's a tight end to a lot of people, and I've used this metaphor before. It's like going to Costco, and on your list is the chicken breasts and the frozen beef. The ground beef in the back of the store, but you walk in and you just buy the big screen TV and the Sonos sound system, right? It's not what you need. It's what you want. Bickley has a phrase. It's dessert before dinner. Drafting a tight end is like dessert before dinner. Hey, go get dinner first before you worry about what you're going to eat for dessert. But a tight end like that, that's really tempting dessert.
And risky.
Very. And that's
a risky dessert.
And that's the two questions I have about Kyle Pitts. Number one, Schrager suggests it takes this year's first, next year's first, and a third to get him. San Francisco paid a lot more than that to move up a similar number of spots to number three in this year's draft. Is that really all it's going to cost? That's question number one.
Three on the value chart, three is worth a lot more than seven.
Fair.
A lot more.
Fair. But San Francisco also had 12 to offer, and the Cardinals had 16 to offer. Okay. So, you know, so some of that balances out. That's question number one. Question number two, Schrager's got him going number seven. If you want to be sure, you got to go higher than seven.
Well, that's why it wouldn't be a trade until draft day.
Right.
Right. That's why there's no way you make that trade until the day of the draft. Because you can't make that trade, because you don't make a trade like that unless it's for one guy. Not for, hey, we want to move up there because we like five guys. It's probably, you don't give up that much inventory. It better be for a guy that you think is a franchise-changing player.
Now, I'll tell you this. Between you and what you've been saying for a few weeks, and between Peter Schrager, if on draft night we're sitting here, and Kyle Pitts is available at number seven, okay, I'm going to wonder. I'm going to, until Kyle Pitts goes somewhere that's not the Cardinals, you have done a successful job of planting this seed now in my mind of really watching him close on draft night to see what happens. I still think it's a long shot. That's why we've got the bet.
It's 10 to 1. The odds are 10 to 1. It's a 10% chance they can get him. 10% chance. I mean, somebody may say it's so hard to make a trade, and then somebody else may say, I want that guy, or somebody else may make a better trade. You just don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that it's worth looking at. I think you look at it. I think you look at it if you're Arizona. Doesn't mean you do, but you look at it because he's that dynamic of a player.
We do have a bet. If it happens,
I made it.
I buy you lunch for five straight days.
Yes.
If it doesn't, you buy me lunch for one day. So I gave you 5-1 odds and you took it.
Yep.
5-1. Five lunch. A week's worth of lunches on me if it happens. And decent lunches, too.
Sure. I mean, it'd be good one.
Decent lunches. Yeah.
Yeah, because the odds are slim that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm just, again, planting the seed that I wouldn't be surprised if it's just something that's being discussed and looked at.
When we come back, it took a while for the Diamondbacks offense to show up today in Colorado, and that's putting things really nicely. Has the last 24 hours been a preview of what life is going to be like without Ketel Marte? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Ketel Marte, it was just an awful sight as part of an awful season so far. It's almost impossible to believe that the season is only a week old for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, and it's a lot of doom and gloom. I mean, it's, to be honest, I mean, listen, I love this team. I'm rooting for them. I bought four tickets for tomorrow's game. I'm going. I support them. But, I mean, this couldn't have started any worse. Lose 3 out of 4 to the Padres. Lose 2 out of 3 to the Rockies. Zach Allen's hurt. He's not playing. Calhoun's not playing. Clippard's not playing. Marte gets hurt yesterday. He's been your best player. It's Bumgarner can't get anybody out. Two starts in a row.
Yeah.
Merrill Kelly struggled today. Caleb Smith is already out of the rotation. He only had one start. Now he's a bullpen guy. Like the best thing that's happened to the Diamondbacks, to be honest with you, is Taylor Widener. That's the best thing that happened to them is Taylor Widener.
The only best thing that's happened.
Well, Marte here. Was crushed.
Well,
was crushing.
Of course,
it.
I would have put him on the list. He yeah. went into last night's game. What, leading the National League in hits, leading the National League in doubles? I mean, of course I would have put Ketel Marte on that list, but in that sixth inning of last night's game, when he comes up grabbing that hamstring the way they did, and I don't know how alarmed to be about this, but last night after the game, we were told, okay, we think maybe he just cramped up a little bit, and that's all it was. Today, we were told, okay, we're going to send him back to the Valley, MRI, but we're not, you know, expecting anything really to change until we get him really checked out. They put him on the IL about 30 minutes before today's yeah. game started, and I kind of thought that was odd that for a team that said, oh, no, it's just a cramp. Oh, no, we're going to send him back home and get the MRI. You know, on second thought, we're going to put him on the IL, and they did it. In part because, according to Torrey,
the Colorado doctor,
let me play the soundbite for you from today's post-game interview with Torrey.
The discomfort continued to be there. And, you know, we ask our athletes to share the most information and all the feelings that they're having. And he clearly did that. It was evaluated by the Rockies team doctor at that point. You know, it was recommended that we put him on the IL. So it wasn't progressing the way we wanted to. I felt like, you know, we could get him back home originally to get in front of our doctors. But we felt like it was important for him to be seen as soon as possible. So at that point, we pivoted and put him on the DL and activated KY.
I think they were struggling with it because they were still kind of deciding what to do. You know, this morning when I checked in, it was, you know, they were expecting to know soon, but they were still kind of deciding. They weren't 100% with it. But listen, this is your franchise player. He's young. You got him under contract for four more years.
Yeah.
I think that you got to just err on the side of caution. Make sure that he's right. I mean, if it's 10 games, it's a hamstring injury. You don't want this to linger all year long. Get him right. Do the right thing by the player. Now, I'm not saying as much as this season has gotten off to an absolutely brutal start. You know, they're 2-5. I'm not saying, okay, that's it. Throw in a towel. You're done with this season. It's probably going to go that way where this season's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
But you still have to do what's best for the player, whether you're 5-2 or you're 2-5.
No, and what makes it tough is that, okay, we're a week in. They've won a couple of games. They've lost both series they've played. But to be able to only count on one hand things that have gone right, and I mean really to need two fingers to count the things that have gone right.
Is there anything else outside of Taylor Widener?
Taylor Widener, and as you said, Ketel Marte before he got hurt. And I don't even think we can count Ketel Marte now because he's hurt and he's going to be out at least 10 days. Is there anything else that has worked well?
Ahmed's out. Dubinsky's out
okay,
right now. Clipper's out right now.
Has Drubal Cabrera's been okay? I'm searching here.
Rojas is struggling.
Oh, my. They're all struggling. Yeah, even, okay.
Rojas threw a ball to Tristan Walker. It hit him in the eye. He's got a black eye. I mean, how often have you seen that? How many guys got a black eye from a ball being thrown?
These stats don't count for today's game.
Okay.
But even with Ketel Marte's .462 batting average, as a team, they're hitting .216.
That's including
Ketel Marte.
They didn't score any runs.
Yeah,
they got shut out in Colorado. Who gets shut out in Colorado?
It's only happened
and
to the Diamondbacks twice.
It was a no-hitter going into the seventh inning against them.
Yep.
Yeah, the offense is terrible, but if you said what's worse, the offense or the starting pitching, man,
that's just like
what's your worst vegetable, yams or asparagus? Like, you know, when you were a kid and you hated vegetables.
This is like playing tic-tac-toe, right? Draw.
You can make it a drawer every single time.
There's no answer to that question. It's both been the team ERA is probably sitting somewhere around 9 or 10 after Merrill Kelly's performance today. The offense, you point out, shut out in Colorado, only the second time in 200-plus games the Diamondbacks have played up there. Look, it's the only thing you have going for you if you're a Diamondback fan right now is sample size. And I know
it's only 7 games.
That's it.
That's a good point. That's good.
That's it. That's what you've got.
Yeah,
you've and that's not a lot. Sample size doesn't keep you warm on a cold night. You know, it's not, sample size isn't the kind of thing that makes you go, oh, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. That's, other than Taylor Widener, the only thing I've got for you is sample size. It's been 7 games. That's all. So let's see what, when 7 becomes 14, when 14 becomes 21.
You usually want, you know, I always like 30, 35 to, you know, to get a kind of an indication. God, it's hard not to feel right now that you kind of know what this team is, though, isn't it? It's hard.
It's hard.
And like, they're not,
it's hard not to look at this team and
they're not good.
And say, even if it gets better, because it's got to get better. Okay. I mean, they're not going to hit, they're not going to hit 216 as a team all year.
No, Bumgarner is not going to pitch to an ERA of 11 all
year. Their starters aren't going to have an ERA of 10 all year long. It could be, but it really can't be this bad all year. The question you have to, when they come down off of this bad high that they're on right now, is it going to be that much better? You know, that's the concern, is that when they settle into their normal, that normal isn't going to be that good because it's been this bad to start. That's my fear.
I just don't know where the hope is. Like you said, what the best thing about this team is so far has been Taylor Widener. You know, where's the hope? Like where, you know, Calhoun comes back, Ahmed comes back. I guess maybe you could hope that happens. Clippard comes back, Ahmed comes back, Calhoun comes back, and they start to play better. Yeah. I guess we could hang our hat on that, but I'm very concerned.
After today's loss to the Rockies, Torey Lovello said, we need to do everything
on the mound. I thought Merrill had that bumpy start, had a chance, you know, pitch deep into the game. But I felt like those early runs and then potentially a mistake on the field cost us a couple of extra runs. And those are the little things that we do so well here. But overall, I feel like we gotta do everything better. We gotta hit better. We gotta pick up the baseball better, and we gotta pitch better. And we will. That's what we talk about here. Tomorrow's a new day. We're coming home. We're all excited about that.
If that answer sounds a lot like the answers Torey gave after last year's 60-game season, listen to this.
Torey, I know you guys had hoped to kind of just have a fresh start this year after last year. Does it kind of feel to you, though, like some things are just kind of rolling over from last year's struggles into this year?
No, it doesn't feel that way at all.
Probably does, but he doesn't want to say that. He doesn't want to give off the indication that here we go again, you know?
Right. Because if he answers that question in the affirmative, that's exactly how I'm going to interpret it. And you probably, here we go again.
Yep. Same as last year.
Yep.
Like, you know, you should have figured this stuff out. You should have got better. Look, it's, you know, there's hope because there's some good prospects in the organization. There are good prospects. You've got two major prospects, young players in Marte and Gallen that you have. But a lot of the pieces around those guys, you could absolutely... I'm happy that Carson Kelly's playing well.
Yeah.
But the starting rotation is not good.
No.
It's just not good.
They've already made a change to the starting rotation.
Yeah.
Caleb Smith made one start.
And he's a reliever.
And they bumped him. And he actually pitched okay last night. But they've already bumped him to the...
I was so excited about Rojas coming out of spring training. And he's off to a slow start.
LeCastro coming out of spring training, slow start. It's small sample size. I'm building my house on small sample size. That's all I got, Campo. It's not a great foundation. That's all I got. I got nothing else to build it on right now. That and the fun of opening day, and you're going to be there. I'm actually going to be there tomorrow too. My wife and I bought some tickets. I was bummed that I had to miss opening day last year, and I know you were too. And it will be nice to be there for an opening day. I just hope things start to turn around with this baseball team soon. They're taking on the Reds tomorrow. When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show, last night, Phoenix Suns handled Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Can they do it again tonight against Kawhi and Paul George? A preview of night two of these back-to-back brawls for the Phoenix Suns. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Let's get it. That's it. Let's just get it.
That's all Devin Booker had to say last night.
Let's get it.
Let's get it. That's it. Let's get it. Because, you know, Gambo, the Suns are playing the Clippers tonight.
And what does that mean for the Clippers?
Bad news for the Clippers!
Bad news for the Clippers! You set me up with that. Well, wow, that was good.
Well, no.
I waited a long time.
I was just worried. I was worried we weren't going to get it in tonight. You know?
Yes.
It was late. You know? We got it in under the wire. But I was a little worried it wasn't going to happen tonight. Because it didn't happen. We were We were nervous about it yesterday. We had a discussion on the air. With such a big game, biggest regular season game
and we didn't have it.
God only knows when. And Luke's like, I'm not doing it. Well, I said, well, you can't do it. You're not allowed to do it. But even if you were allowed to do it, he didn't want the pressure of doing it. Because he's like, if they had lost that game, or if something even worse than that had happened, I would never hear the end of it. So there was no bad news.
Couldn't blame it on Luke.
No, you can't blame it on Luke. Tonight, it's part two of this brutal back-to-back for the Phoenix Suns. They're in L.A. taking on a Clippers team that has added Rajon Rondo, that has added Boogie Cousins, that is starting to get guys back, guys healthy again. Pat Bev is back. He's going to be on a bit of a minutes restriction, you would think, tonight, though I did see that he's starting tonight. There's been some speculation about Kawhi's future in L.A. I was reading a couple days ago a report that maybe he would leave and go to the Miami Heat, but now there are reports out of L.A. that he's probably going to stay. The Clippers expect him to stay. The Clippers are a really hard team to figure out because I think everybody thinks that if they're right and if they're healthy, that they might be the team best built to compete with the Lakers in the West. And they've got the third best record in the Western Conference right now, but there's just something about them that's hard to believe in, at least the way I see it. There's something about them that's just inconsistent enough. It's hard to know whether they truly are the second best team in the West when it's all said and done. I don't think they are, but I think some people think that they will be.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, because it's just Kawhi and Paul George, because Kawhi won with the Raptors and they made that trade for Paul George. And ever since then, they were good last year, but then in the bubble, right? I mean, it was all the problems in the bubble, whether they wanted to be there or not. Then there was Paul George really good enough to help Kawhi Leonard get over the top? And there was questions about their size. They had a Boogie Cousins. They had a Rajon Rondo. Look, this window could close this year if they don't win. If Kawhi leaves, then that window could close. Well, they got a new building coming in a couple of years. So it will be interesting to see what happens to the Clippers if they get knocked out early enough and they 2 years in a row being all in don't win it.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're dealing with injuries. But to look at the Clippers, and I'm looking at like the last 3 weeks of Clippers basketball, they had a nice 6-game win streak in there. And during that win streak, they had wins over Milwaukee and Philadelphia and a couple of wins over San Antonio. But boy, they've just been really hit and miss, really hot and cold over the last few weeks. Losses to the Wizards. A bad 20-point loss to the New Orleans Pelicans in there. They lost to the Orlando Magic. I know the Suns did, too, a couple of weeks ago. But they lost to the Orlando Magic this time a week ago. They've been a hard team to kind of figure out in terms of it. It's almost like they're waiting for the playoffs to start because they know that's all that matters. They know that's the only thing they're going to be judged on. And there's this belief that as soon as they get into the postseason, they'll be able to flip this switch and go. I don't know if it's going to be that simple for them. They've had a very inconsistent year, and yet there they sit with the third best record in the Western Conference.
Right. You know, I mean, you look at the Jazz last night. They lost to the Suns, and like, oh, but they missed all their 3-point shots, so they still feel like they're good. The Clippers, they're really going to rely on the playoff experience with Rondo, and they're going to hope DeMarcus Cousins gives them some size to match up because the Lakers got Andre Drummond. Now, I think that there's still like, but the thing about this year more than it, and usually most years you could kind of, you know who the top two teams are?
Yeah.
This year there's five teams. Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, Nuggets, Suns. There's five. I don't think Portland's there. I don't think that Portland's a threat to win.
No.
But I think the Suns have put themselves in a position to where I don't think it would shock, they wouldn't shock the world if they got to the NBA Finals.
No, I don't think Portland's in a position to win the championship. I think they're a dangerous team that I don't want to see a whole lot of in the postseason. But I don't think they're a threat to win. We were talking about this yesterday. I think that, okay, obviously everybody wants to avoid the Lakers, clearly. And the Suns, for what it's worth, game and a half now back from the top seed in the West. Utah is at home tonight against Portland. They might be a little fatigued, too. You do have a chance here to potentially pick up another game on the Utah Jazz if they lose and you beat the LA Clippers. Wow. Now, I know that's a lot to ask.
Then they'd be tied in a loss column.
They would be tied in the loss column.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tied in the loss column. So that, I mean, you know, look, you just don't know. And that's why Monty's like, look, we're not, there's 22 games left.
I believe so, yes.
So it's just, and the Suns have a tough schedule.
Yes, they do.
So, like, I don't think you could really, it's, I understand the scoreboard watching. We're all scoreboard watching. And if they tie the Jazz for the best record, man, Denver's won seven games in a row. They're playing really good. The Suns are going to have that real, you brought this up a couple of times, that real difficult stretch.
Yeah.
Where they're going to be playing some really tough games. But this was considered difficult. I mean, back to back against the Jazz and the Clippers was considered difficult, and they won the first one.
So far, they've handled it really, really well.
Yeah, they have.
We'll see what happens tonight. I think that, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday when you were gone, avoiding the Lakers is goal number one, and a lot of that is out of your control because who knows how far the Lakers will fall and all of that. I think goal number two is to finish either with the one or two seed, because I think 3-6 in the Western Conference, that's the circle of death right there. Because 3-6 in the Western Conference,
two tough games,
is going to be the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and probably Portland, right? I don't want to open a playoff series against any of those teams. I want a nice, cushy best of seven against the Memphis Grizzlies. I want a nice, cushy best of seven against the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't 3-6, stay out of that. And the Suns are in a really good spot to stay out of 3-6.
You seem to be play better against the better teams than they do against the weaker teams.
Fair. But I hope in the playoffs that's not a narrative. I mean,
they've lost. They lost to New Orleans this year, right?
They've lost to Memphis this year.
They lost to Memphis this year. They lost to New Orleans this year.
Yeah, they sure did.
It's always just be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. It's time for the Coors Seltzer. What's on tonight? Brought to you by Coors Seltzer. When you drink a Coors Seltzer, you help save the Salt River. We have tonight the Suns taking on the Clippers. That's a 7 o'clock tip time here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, televised as well on TNT and Valley Sports Arizona. And that's it tonight in terms of the local teams. Diamondbacks have already played. They've already lost. Coyotes, they are off tonight after their heartbreaking loss last night to the LA Kings. A 3-1 lead going into the third.
And St. Louis won against Vegas.
Yep.
So that was
a 3-point lead now. I think they have a 3-point lead.
St. Louis has a game in hand.
Yeah.
They do have a game in hand.
Yeah. So no Coyotes tonight, but we do have Suns basketball. We are out of here. Brief edition of the Rundown is up next before Suns basketball. We'll see you tomorrow at straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone. Good night to you.